Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are wrapping up our week together, going through Jesus' teachings in Luke chapter 6. And if you've been with us this week and even last week, we're trying to trace the footprints of Jesus. We're saying, how did he walk? How did he talk? What was his ministry like? How did he bring the kingdom? What did he preach? What does this mean for me? And really continuing, we never exhaust the question in our whole spiritual lives until the day that we die. Who is this man? Who is this man? Who is Jesus? Every day, Jesus, show me more and more and more. And what I want, what I was reflecting on, is I want to continue to get to know Jesus for who he truly is more and more each day, so that I don't have any surprises when I die, so that it's just like coming home when I see him face to face. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just a fulfillment of the ways that I've seen you moving, the glimpses of your face that I've seen. This is just a fulfillment of that. That's what I want. I want to get to know him for real. And friends, I want to be like him for real. And so this week, the rubber is hitting the road. We're talking about blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who mourn. All of these different things saying the blessings show us that obedience matters to God. And we've been examining and allowing the Holy Spirit to examine the states of our hearts. To say, Jesus, where do you want me to grow? Jesus, what materially do you want me to let go of so that I'm in deeper detachment and poverty? Lord Jesus, how do you want me to hunger for you? That was a big thing yesterday, is saying, make me hungry. You know, it's interesting. I just want to touch on this briefly because we talked about hunger yesterday. And, you know, sometimes what can happen is that when you go long periods of time without really like eating, you lose hunger. Like, for example, when you don't eat breakfast and you go week after week without eating breakfast, you start waking up and you're not actually hungry for breakfast anymore. And so then you're not eating breakfast because you say, oh, well, I'm not hungry for breakfast. That was me for a while. I'd wake up and I'd just get going, and then I would eat lunch because I'd be like, oh, I'll just have coffee. I'm not hungry for breakfast. And actually, as I began to do research, and what people began to tell me is that a lack of hunger for breakfast is a bad sign. That actually, as you begin to eat regular 3 meals a day, and when you're properly satisfying your body with food, you experience hunger more often. And so when you don't eat, you're not experiencing hunger in the morning. And you're like, oh, I'm not experiencing hunger. It's a bad sign not to be hungry for breakfast. It's a good sign. You know, when boys are growing up and they wake up starving in the morning, it's a sign of growth. And so to say hunger, not having spiritual hunger, is a sign that we've plateaued, is a sign that we've become comfortable, not a sign that we're growing. So I just wanted to say that because I think that's really important in developing spiritual hunger. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get into our last blessing and maybe get into some of the woes today. And it's important, friends, what's really important, again, like we talked about yesterday, this isn't just a social gospel. It's not just behavior modification, but it's a way of living. It's a way of seeing. It's a way of conforming our minds to Christ. It's a way of conforming ourselves to what's valuable to him. What's desirable to him? How does a disciple think? He thinks like the master. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to read. And again, we've got some heavy hitters today with the blessings and the woes of how Jesus is calling us to submit to him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we thank you for this week. I thank you for each way that it's been good and positive and fun and fruitful. And I thank you for each way that it's been stressful and tension building and sad and frustrating. And I ask that you would show us at the end of this week all the ways that you are present in both the good and the bad. Show us where you were. Show us how you're working. Show us everything of where you are. Show us your fingerprints. And Lord, we pray that as we wrap up this week together, that you would just fill us with your love in a fresh way. that each and every one of us, whether we're so energized at the end of this week or we're exhausted and tired and depleted, we all need a fresh touch of your love. We all need a fresh touch of your love. We glorify you, we worship you, we praise you, and we give you our hearts today. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and read. We're going to read those blessings again and get into some of the woes. Luke 6:20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. But I say to you that here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your coat as well. Give to everyone who begs from you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them." I wanted to read all the way through because I wanted to get to that golden rule. As you wish so men would do to you, do so to them. So we are getting into some stuff that's really hard to hear. You know, it's hard to be poor in spirit. It's hard to grow in humility, all that kind of stuff. But Jesus says some really, really challenging things here. And I want to read this part again. This is a part we go over all the time. And we're like, well, if that happens to me, we'll see. But it hasn't happened to me. Blessed are you when men hate you. I'm going to say that again. Remember what blessed means. Remember that Greek word, makarios, deeply fortunate. Deeply fortunate are you. Favored by God are you when men hate you. Favored by God are you when men exclude you, when they revile you, when they cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did so to the prophets. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. And this is something that we don't really take seriously to happen to us. And we're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to try to do that if I'm ever hated or anything like that. Jesus also says to his disciples, this will happen to you. He says later on, woe to you when men speak well of you. There's something that Jesus is getting at here. He's saying, if you are following my commandments, if you are being my disciples, men will hate you. They will revile you. This is crazy to say. It's crazy to say. And this is where Jesus is turning the world on its head. How often, even as followers of Jesus, we're like, yes, Lord, loving you is my goal, all of this kind of stuff. But then we go through life seeking the honor and approval of men. God really dealt with me this year on how much I was concerned about being liked. Truly. He was like, let it go. If you're accountable to other people and you're accountable to me, you need to rejoice in this. So it's even crazy to say you are favored by God when men hate you on account of me. And here's a distinction, on account of me. It's not if people hate you or revile you because you're just being rude or you're just being mean. On account of me, have you ever been rejected for your faith? Have you ever been rejected for loving God? Have you ever been rejected for being his follower? He's saying, favored are you when men hate you, when they exclude you. Anybody ever been excluded? How does it feel? It feels terrible. And it's like, even sometimes as an adult, it takes you back to when you're young and you feel this experience of rejection. And you're like, oh, like so many times I've been excluded. I'm like, my heart just aches and it hurts. He's saying, favored are you Favored are you when you're excluded, when people leave you out. It's a sign that you're favored by God. Favored are you when they revile you. I want to read some definition. To speak revile. It's not just to say, oh, people hate you in their heart. To speak abusively or contemptuously about someone, often with the intent to insult, shame, or discredit. Here, revile means verbal abuse, slander, public mockery, name-calling meant to damage a person's reputation, related words, insult, slander, vilify, abuse, ridicule. Favored are you when people ridicule you, when they slander you, when they gossip about you. And if that isn't hard enough to get our heads around, what does he say next? Rejoice on that day and leap for joy. He's not saying if this happens to you. He's saying when this happens to you. So one, as disciples, we should expect this. And friends, if this is never happening to us, there might be a conviction there that we need to live deeper into Jesus's gospel values. There might be a conviction there that we're too similar to the world. There might be a conviction there that we're not hungry enough for righteousness, because we will rub shoulders with people. We will be like, man, like I'm experiencing separation, or man, people don't like me, or I'm experiencing rejection. I've experienced this from people that I loved and that I wanted to be close to, of being like, you know, you're bigoted, or you're not going with the values of the world. And so we kind of don't want to be your friend anymore. And I didn't want to rejoice. I held on to bitterness for a long time, for a long, long time. But he says, leave. This is Jesus's challenge. And this is where the kingdom, friends, is so on the head of the world. When somebody does these things to you in the world, you want to get vengeance. You know, it was interesting. The other day I was at my friend's house and she has two little girls, a 4-year-old and an almost 3-year-old. And they were playing with magnetiles. And we had built this like epic house out of magnetiles. And the 2.5-year-old, just out of her own desire to destroy, destroyed the house that her sister and I had built. And, you know, her sister's crying and she's like, why did you do that? She's so upset, all this kind of stuff. And then she hits her sister back. And then her sister's like, I'm sorry. Like, do you want to build a house with me again? And so we're talking it through with them. And we were like, Avery, what do you want to do? Would you want to build a house with Arita again? And she goes, no, I want her to build a house. And then I want to knock down her house that she builds. And that's the only thing that's going to make me feel better. And it was just this like little innocent retaliation of vengeance, of like, the thing that I want is to destroy this person exactly like they destroyed me. That's the human spirit. That's the human heart. That's the world. That's what the world says. Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus is saying, no, when somebody reviles you, when they publicly mock you, rejoice and say, thank you, God, because I get to participate in the suffering of Christ. I get to participate in the suffering of the prophets. Thank the Lord for that. What? 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 That's incredible. And we need grace to do it. And so, friends, what we're seeing over the course of this week, as we're going through, saying, Jesus, give me eyes to see your kingdom. Give me eyes to rejoice and be glad in the values that you have set before me and to obey. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.